Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today are Chris and Bob. Welcome, guys.
Hey there.
Hello.
Hello. On today's show, we're going to be doing a 2012 in review. We're going to look back on what we feel was done right, what we feel was maybe needing some improvement, and then we're going to project into 2013, and we'll talk about what we're looking forward to and what we're hoping to see or what we're not looking forward to, what we think might be a mistake. So, how's everyone doing?
Good.
I'm on top of the world.
All right. All right. Very good. So let's get started. Let's start with the Magic Kingdom in review. What did they do right? Bob, tell me what they did right.
Oh, I think at the Magic Kingdom, the opening of New Fantasyland was the highlight there. No question, just by doubling the size alone of Fantasyland and getting rid of some of the crowd clutter that always happens in that area was an improvement. But more than that, it really came out beautiful. You've got the new Storybook Circus area with now two Dumbos, which is fantastic. You've got Enchanted Tales with Belle, which is a quasi meet and greet slash interactive, story with guests. You've got the Undersea Voyage attraction with Ariel. And you've got coming down the road, you've got the Snow White Seven Dwarfs Mine Coaster attraction.
Wait for that one.
Yep, and of course, you've also got in New Fantasyland, Gaston's Tavern for LeFou's Brew and some light snacks, and Be Our Guest Restaurant for lunch and dinner. So it's beautifully themed. I think they did a fantastic job with how it all came out and how it all looks. Even if none of that appeals to you, even if you don't ride Dumbo or you don't care about Be Our Guest Restaurant or Enchanted Tales or any of that, you have to admire, I think, the way it looks. And it's definitely something Disney did right in 2012 and rightly deserve all of the fanfare and credit that they are getting for it.
Yeah, they've gotten a lot of hype, and it's good stuff.
Yep, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Chris, what do you think? What did they do right in the Magic Kingdom?
Well, I have to agree with Bob. I mean, I think the Fantasyland expansion is fantastic. I think in some ways, the biggest jump was really taking Toontown, which was kind of disjointed and not very well done. I mean, you had areas of Toontown that had been really neglected. I think the biggest jump was turning that area into Storybook Circus, which initially I didn't think would work at all. But when you look at it, when it was done, it's fantastic. I mean, the double Dumbos, the interactive queue, retheming Goofy, the new train station, which is really actually beautiful. If you look at all the work that was put into that, I love Casey Jr. I think that's a really fun water play area. I mean, it was easy to start with a blank slate over in Fantasyland, but to just go back in and take what was essentially a mess in Toontown. And of course, if you compare Toontown in Disneyland with what is in Walt Disney World, it's night and day. We didn't have a great Toontown, even though I loved it. So I love that. I love Storybook Circus. And obviously, I love the queue at Little Mermaid. I think it's fantastic. The ride is, of course, great. But, Gaston's Tavern, I think it's fun and it's a really clever idea. And, Be Our Guest is gorgeous. I'm not crazy about the food at dinner, but, visually it's an enjoyable place to go and check out.
Are you going to give them another chance?
Yes. I'm not going there this week because I just couldn't get a reservation, but I'll go back there, obviously. And I think it'll improve or not. It'll be terrible. Who knows,
I think it goes without saying that the Fantasyland expansion is going to be one thing that we reflect on as a job well done. But let's get more specific. Bob, what is your, if you had to pick one or two aspects, why is it so great? without saying, you know, as a whole, all these different things are great.
Right. The overall theming is what makes it very special, because you can't walk into that part of the park and not be impressed. If it doesn't take your breath away when you see those castle walls and you look out and there's Beast Castle in the distance, and the forced perspective really, really works. Mm-hmm. So even though you know it's, you know, just feet
miniature
away,
yeah,
it looks so far away. So it's beautifully done. The separation of the lands, even though they are a little too close together, I don't think there was too much they could do about that. But I love that. I think it came out fantastic. So theming, Imagineering just knocked that out of the park. If you're listening to this and you've seen Cars Land and what they've done over in Buena Vista Street at California Adventure, that same sort of drawing you in to the environment, into the story, that's what you see there. So
there's no comparison, though, I have to think.
No, there's no comparison. I mean, there's no comparison because you're talking about separate lands versus one giant Cars Land area, Radiator Springs. But
that's what works.
The overall environment, I think, was done especially well.
Yeah, and I do think it flows okay. I mean, it. I don't find it jarring that I go right from Little Mermaid to Belle's Village. That to me isn't jarring. It's not an issue. The difference, though, it's like you said, the difference between that and Cars Land is Cars Land is all one idea, whereas these are multiple ideas. And somehow the coherent single idea works better, I think, in bringing you in.
And I could see that, yeah.
I think the things that I like about it, I love the double Dumbos and the interactive queue, because that line was miserable when it was a single Dumbo.
Yeah, terrible.
It was absolutely miserable. And when you're waiting just as long for Dumbo as you would for one of the
Space Mountain or something?
Yeah. I don't want to say one of the highlights of the park, but because Dumbo really is a highlight, but one of the bigger rides.
Yeah, an e-ticket. Dumbo is not an e-ticket attraction, but Space Mountain or Big Thunder Mountain is.
Right.
And when their wait times are the same, that definitely is an issue. And fantastic job by Disney to recognize a need and address the need.
And they actually did well.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, they didn't just make two Dumbos to try and cut your wait time in half. They made your wait time entertaining and bearable, because all the people that are going to be on that, most of the people that are going to be on that are under the age of 6 or under 10. And they get bored in line and they get antsy and it's so hot, and to have them in the air conditioning, genius. I just really love what they did with that. The other thing I really enjoy or can appreciate beyond, you know, each individual attraction, the flow, the way you can, you know, go in and out. There's two ways to get into the new Fantasyland area. And it's not go in and then back out, kind of like Cars Land. Well, Cars Land, you do have the back way. But I don't think a lot of people realize that. And they go in and they come out the same way they went in.
Yeah.
But I think that's going to help with the flow, because I think it's very clear and obvious.
Yeah. I think you can, like, if you go far enough into Cars Land, you will see that you can go out the back way. But I think you're right. I think a few times that I was walking around in there, I turned around. I didn't discover it until the last day. I was like, oh, this is awesome. I could go over here.
Yeah. And then you're in a whole nother land. So,
yeah,
I think it's nice. And it's almost like a little shortcut if you're trying to get from one place to another. But it is not obvious. You think that it's one way in and a dead end, and having the racers at the end of the dead end, and you don't realize that you can keep walking around. Oh, and
yeah, so yes, having the flow as good as it is definitely a benefit within New Fantasyland. And like Chris said, taking that section of Toontown, and I know there's lots of people that miss Toontown, but it was kind of falling apart.
But you can go to Disneyland and see a better Toontown and get your fill.
Yes, a much better Toontown. But and what they did with transforming Toontown into Storybook Circus is really commendable. And I like, too, that while I'm not a fan of clowns, I actually like that they have live entertainment and they have clowns within Storybook Circus now. And they're professional. They're trained from a lot of them are from the Ringling College. So
I don't think they get the recognition. It's very strange to have clowns on the streets at Disney like this, but they do certainly fit, and they are very good. But it's still a bit of a misfit for me.
Okay,
I kind of like seeing any kind of entertainment that kind of is sort of out in the crowd. So I think it kind of works. I enjoy it. I don't like clowns either, but I loved that. So
yeah. And you know, the fact that they're supposed to be taking away the street performers, you know, and letting us see less and less of them.
Yeah.
I'm going to miss that. I think that's a mistake. So let me write that down as a mistake.
Well, yeah. Okay. So then what are, I mean, I think we can all agree for the Magic Kingdom, as far as that goes, 2012, looking back, the big story or one thing that Disney definitely did right in that park was New Fantasyland.
Oh, I would like to add one more thing that they did right that you're forgetting.
Okay.
The citrus swirl. They brought the citrus swirl back, which
okay.
is awesome. It's like, you know, it's probably the best snack in the park for a grown-up, maybe not for a kid. It's a little tart for a kid.
Okay. Well, but now that we agree that New Fantasyland and the Citrus Swirl are two great things that Disney did right in 2012 at the Magic Kingdom, what do we feel they missed? Or let me put it this way. What would you like to see them do in 2013? Whether it happens or not is irrelevant. What would you want them to do at that park? Or something, add something, take away something.
A turkey leg cart on every corner.
A what? A turkey leg cart. Awesome.
Okay. Maybe we can add a sprinkle cart on every corner.
Oh, exactly. Be nice. Oh, you know
you
what?
Sit there with your big bag.
You know what? I took my sprinkles and I ordered little spice containers. And because we have like 25 different kinds of sprinkles in this house.
That is so weird.
I know. I'll take a picture and send it to you.
Yes, please. That's the oddest thing.
Yeah. And so now they all have their own little container, and I feel much better because they used to be in little Ziplocs. And so now
don't you think it's kind of like they're going to go bad? Because I throw my sprinkles out every couple of years. I don't let them sit around.
Okay. So what would you like to see happen in 2013 with the Magic Kingdom? Chris?
I'd actually like to see better quick service food. I'm not
what
one of those
that,
people.
What would that be for you?
A decent burger. I mean, if McDonald's can sell thousands of burgers, billions, I don't know, whatever they sell, every single day, why can't Disney make one decent hamburger? I mean, it's a very simple thing to make. Their hamburgers are disgusting. So I'd also like to see more affordable, healthy options for kids. You know, you can buy, like, I was complaining about the food one time, and another person said, oh, well, you can buy a cup of fruit. And I'm like, yeah, for $5. I mean, that's like a dollar's worth of fruit. I'd like to see some cheaper options that I can give my kids.
Yeah, make it a little more reasonable. I do like, I think the fruit carts, when they or the fruit wagons, I think those are reasonable. What is it, like $1.25 or? It's less than $2 for a piece of fruit, and that's going to be one of your cheapest snacks in the park, and it's healthy, healthful. So
it's a good idea to have that. You just don't see them that often. What you see is cart after cart after cart of junk,
ice cream and churros.
Yeah,
and they tinker too much with a lot of the counter service food and things that were good, like the Golden Oak cart used to sell terrific chicken sandwiches and chicken nuggets, and I think they replaced them with a lower quality, and they're just not nearly as good anymore. And I know you're going to get on me because I'm always bringing up the hot dogs at Casey's, but their bread, it's like eating a loaf of bread now. Their bun is like eating a piece of Wonder Bread, like a really thick piece of Wonder Bread. It's just not good. And I agree with the two of you that it is the same choices, it seems, over and over and over again, wherever you go. And I realize that stuff sells, otherwise you wouldn't have the same right. choices over and over. But that's kind of a, you know, two sides to every coin. If that's all you offer, that's all that people are ever going to buy.
Right. Well, yeah, that's absolutely true. And I almost want to head Bob off because I know that this is like a can of worms for Bob and things Bob would like to see improved. I mean, that's going to be a very long list. For me personally, I'm generally very happy with the quality of everything at the Magic Kingdom, but the food, it's just not working for me.
Okay. So ideally, you know, I'm in a different frame of mind. What kind of food would I like to see? I would like to see milk more reasonably
yes.
priced.
Yes.
I'd like to see milk in a screw-on bottle instead of a carton. I would like to see Caesar salads. Why can't you just have Caesar salads dispersed throughout the park?
Or any kind of salad.
Yeah, you know, chef salad. Do whatever to have something healthy. I figured with the Caesar, you wouldn't have to worry about salad choice or dressing choices.
Yeah, but then it'd be hard, you know, out in that hot weather. There's your Caesar salad getting all soggy.
Well, I mean, like anything that you have, it's got time, you know, it's got to make it from the fridge to your mouth in a certain amount of time. I didn't plan on eating mine outside. I was going to sit down in a nice air-conditioned building and eat it there.
True.
Yeah.
Just fewer fries. I mean, everything comes with fries. Everything is just...
Well, I like how the kids' meals, they come with grapes or apples. But, you know, the Uncrustables for $5?
Right. It's outrageous.
Come on. That hurts. That really hurts.
Well, and $2 for a juice box, a tiny juice box that you probably give your kids every single day. I know I give mine those juice boxes. I can buy 10 of those at Target for like $2.25. You're going to charge me $2 for one box? Excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, things that you know you can buy for a tenth the price, just a fraction of the price, that hurts. And it's really hard to buy.
I've got another one.
Okay.
Recycling. I'd like to see them use fewer plastic plates. And they're getting better about the plates. But every time you see a cupcake in Disney World, it's in one of those clear jewel boxes or whatever, you know, they call it a jewel box. You know, it's a little plastic. You don't need to have a cupcake in that. You know, things like that are kind of ridiculous. And even if Disney does recycle, and I think they're a fairly responsible company in that respect, they're still generating an immense amount of waste every single day.
I do think about that too.
Yeah. It's kind of depressing when you think about it. Like, this is the happiest place on earth and it's polluting Central Florida, you know, regardless of what they're doing. So that'd be nice to see.
I do believe they're heavily into recycling.
They are, but they're still generating these products.
Yeah.
You know, the chemicals used to make them I know I'm like a big liberal hippie, right? The products, the chemicals used to make them, the energy used to produce them and transport them, and then they end up in the park. And even if you are recycling it, well, it didn't have to happen in the first place.
Right.
So some places I've noticed, like at Art of Animation, it's almost entirely your takeaway stuff is almost entirely in little boxes. But for the most part, those darn cupcakes are still in plastic.
Yeah. Mm. And at least the cardboard things are going to biodegrade in the dumps where the plastic, you've got to grab them and recycle them, but then you go back to, you know, you didn't have to make this in the first place.
Well, and it seems like an absurd amount of energy put into having, if the trash is sorted, into having someone doing that you don't really have to do that to begin with.
And, you know, if they did have the different designated cans, would people actually use those?
Well, and that's the thing. I can't tell you how many times I've seen people throw garbage in the recycling thing. And it's like they have a little circle for the you know, the cans or the bottles, and people will still throw their garbage in there. And my own children have done it. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
But
But yeah. They still have to go through it. I mean, it's probably 80% recyclable in what it's supposed to be and 20%.
Yeah.
Idiots.
This is my thing. What can I say?
Well, so I have a slightly different thing than the two of you.
I know you do.
Let's hear it.
I agree with a lot of your points. I can't fault healthy options and more affordable options because I do think that's getting a little bit out of hand. And it's almost like they're forcing people to choose. You know, do I buy the cheaper junk food or do I spend a little bit more to allow my children to eat healthy? And that's not really fair. But what I would like to see, my hope for 2013 at the Magic Kingdom, and I fear this may be a theme echoed throughout the other parks, maintenance is slipping. And in some areas and attractions, it's incredibly noticeable.
Where do you see it the most? Or what's coming to mind?
Buzz Lightyear. Everything from the filthy queue line to the attraction itself, which is in bad need of, I think, just simple fixes there. Touch-up paint and maybe redoing the seating because they're just stained and dirty looking at this point. And the queue line is just absolutely filthy. It needs to be cleaned and repainted.
Yeah, some things that you know. I mean, when you've got a lot of time in a queue and you look around, I don't think the cast members take the time to actually look at their queue line from a guest's point of view.
And sometimes it's the guests that are contributing to the mess and more than sometimes even. So, which is unfortunate, but really the ride, like the seating areas and the ride vehicles look like they need to be touched up. The people mover, again, you've got seats with holes in them, worn out, dirty. You've got, at one point, as you're going around the attraction, there was a section of the wall that looks like it's missing a chunk or it's badly scuffed, and it looks like it was like something banged against it, maybe. Carousel of Progress, which is a classic attraction, and I know, Chris, this is one of your favorites. The noise when it's moving now is incredible. The grinding noise, which cannot be normal. They've been having issues. People are reporting lately watching the show and audio going in and out and lighting not coming up. One person on another podcast said they watched it recently and one entire scene, the lights never came on. So the grandmother is talking in the dark the entire time. And at one point, they're saying the father's head moves and you can see exposed wires. those
I was just in there a couple weeks ago. I didn't see anything like that.
And again, I don't know if these are sporadic issues with things like audio. Yeah. But
well, I will tell you that the audio in Little Mermaid is messed up.
So things like that. Yeah. So things like that, it's a concern because how do you spend something like $400 million or $300 million, let's split the difference, say $350 million building this Fantasyland expansion and have this beautiful, gorgeous themed area, and then simple maintenance is slipping at your other attractions and in some cases classic attractions. And what does that say for the future of New Fantasyland? If you're going to let it slip at your existing attractions, is that what you're going to allow happen in 2 years, 3 years, 4 years at New Fantasyland? I would certainly hope not. I mean, none of us would buy a car for $100,000 and then track mud all over the inside and throw our garbage in it and bang it into walls and then just leave it. But that's kind of what's happening. It's being left alone. Go into the Main Street Bakery and look around. I mean, there was just an article on Mice Chat where they took pictures where there are little containers above that are full of like bags of candy or something. It's supposed to look cute, but they're filthy dirty.
Yeah, it's the decorations and the things like that, whether it's, you know, fake plants that are just dusted in dust.
Right. And I know people can say, well, none of that matters, but it does matter, and it matters because it wasn't like that. And I want people to have the very best experience they can when they go. And you're being denied that when this is not just, you know, one of those things where, well, a ride broke down unexpectedly and it happens, or, you know, this seems to be an ongoing problem, and it's unfortunate. Yeah. So 2013, what I'd like to see is some focus and some love in other areas of the Magic Kingdom, some basic maintenance. Let's throw some paint on it. Let's sweep up. Let's dust. And let's bring back the shine. Let's show people why we're the number one theme park destination in the world again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I don't think it would take too much effort. I mean, they would have to dust those oddball things once a year, really, to make it stay. I mean, even if they did it twice a year, it'd be pretty good year-round.
It's true that somebody just needs to get in there with a Swiffer once in a while.
That's,
you know, it's
all
like,
it needs.
Yeah, it's like, really?
Yeah, I'm not asking for, you know, daily cleanup and Windexing or of things like that. But yes, every 6 months, once a year, something, clean it up and stay on top of your maintenance and your repairs, especially with a classic attraction like Carousel of Progress, which is a lot of fun. I mean, I like that attraction. I hate to hear that sound isn't working or that lights aren't coming up or that you're seeing exposed wiring in the they're not mannequins, whatever. The animatronics. So, yeah. So I don't know. I just hope that the focus, now that this big project at Magic Kingdom is done, maybe the focus this year will be, okay, we've let some of this stuff, you know, go to the back
burner. That's what's on their list.
I'm hoping. Hey, a guy can dream, but that's, hey.
Okay.
Moving on to the next park then, I guess?
Yeah, this is going to be interesting because I think we are going to have the same comments, at least similar comments, because I still want those turkey legs in every corner.
Me too.
Yummy. No.
Churro,
it's a tragedy.
That's the way to go. And you know what? We were talking about food and better choices, and I do have to give credit to Disney because things like the ice cream carts, they do have those frozen strawberry bars. I mean, granted, they're loaded with sugar, but they also have those frozen bananas, and I like that as an option. Every once in a while, I actually get a conscience, and you know, you think about all the food you've been eating and the kids want ice cream. And yeah, an ice cream would be nice, and I'll just get a frozen banana. And it's nice and refreshing, but it's a banana. And it just really hits the spot, and it's not complete junk. Let's go to Epcot.
Okay. For me, 2012, what did Epcot do right? Test Track reopened, so that's good.
Yeah, I mean, it's good that they reopened, but
right, well,
what
I mean,
they reopened wasn't necessarily so good.
Right. It's a positive in the sense that there aren't many e-ticket attractions at Epcot. So having it back is great because it will reduce some of the crowds, I think, at Soarin'. Yes, I mean, you raise a very good point. Some people love it, some people hate it. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. We try to be balanced and fair here and give an honest opinion. And
Yeah, and we may have taken a little bit of slack for that recently.
Yeah.
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 For being honest. And that's what we do here. We're going to tell you what we like and what we don't like.
Right,
and
it's not all
we're not going to sugarcoat
spice.
It.
Right, exactly. And feel free to disagree. I mean, obviously, we don't expect everybody to like what we like or dislike what we like.
Heck,
but
we disagree among ourselves.
Well,
right,
and
exactly.
I think if you go to the parks a lot, you're going to have a very different opinion. You know, it's if you're seeing this all the time, and you have a basis of comparison, not just from year to year, but to you know, from month to month, in some cases for Bob, you know, you go all the time because
yeah.
You're local, you know, you're going to have a different opinion and maybe you're going to be a little harder because, you know, you want them to do better.
I do try to be fair though. And, you know, I'm not afraid. I've done it on this episode where if they're doing good, I'll say they've done a good job.
And they do a good job on most everything they do. And
yeah.
You know, we're just trying to make it perfect.
Right. Well, again, my complaints don't come because I hate the parks. I've said this before. My complaints come because I love the parks and because if I see them slipping, I'm going to call them on it because, again, guests deserve every bang for their buck that they can get. So, yeah, feel free to disagree with our opinions, but know that if you're looking for everything to be sugar-coated and sweet and to be told that everything from ABC Commissary to Stitch's Great Escape are wonderful and fantastic, this is not the podcast for you because we're not going to say those things.
No.
No. We're going to be honest, and we hope you appreciate that. So as it relates to Test Track, my personal opinion, I love the modern look to it. I think it's cool looking inside and – you know, I'm glad that they got rid of all the dust and the dirt that was in there because it was really starting to pile up. And I even kind of like that they got rid of the cheesy pre-show. And, you know, are you feeling an increase in lateral forces? I sure am.
True.
So that was kind of cheesy. But now what's in its place, in my opinion, having experienced it, is something that is very clinical feeling. It just didn't do much for me at all. And that's kind of how I walked away from it. It's almost like I feel that now that there's no pre-show, there's no connection.
That's a good point. Yeah.
So I mean,
I mean, really though, I don't know that you're going on to Test Track to really think deep thoughts about connections and stuff.
No,
I don't think the majority of guests really, you know, go, man, this is so disjointed.
No, and I mean, my very first impression when we got off, and Donna said the same thing, we looked at each other and I said, well, that felt, and she
empty.
Said, she said, sterile, clinical? Like,
I wouldn't say it was sterile or clinical.
Yeah, I'm not getting that.
Yeah, no. I think it's a perfectly acceptable ride. I think maybe people had too high of expectations of the refurb. I mean, you know, and granted, I'm not a massive fan of it, you know, but
no,
okay.
I had no expectations because I didn't know what they were going to do with it. I mean, I didn't
expect Bob, you had expectations.
a Bob without expectations just isn't a Bob.
We should like copyright
coin that.
Yeah, that phrase, put that on a t-shirt, get Cafe Press on that.
Bob has feelings. He's going to share them.
No, I didn't know what to expect, so I went into it openly. And I'm not saying bring back a cheesy pre-show, but maybe bring a storyline.
I think it lacks a storyline. I agree there. To me, it seems shorter. It's the same exact ride, but it seems shorter. And I don't know if it's because they took out pre-show. And I considered part of the show. I don't know.
Maybe that's it. I just felt like even though it's the exact same ride, now I was just going through the motions. I don't know. I mean, the outside test track is just as good as it ever was. So I don't know. As far as what else Epcot did in 2012, not a whole heck of a lot. I mean, they celebrated their 30th, but to me, the 30th anniversary celebration is something they did wrong because of how it was handled. There wasn't much fanfare to it at all. And the focus seemed to be merchandise driven. So, and the focus also seemed to be on D23 events. So if you were a member of D23 and you wanted to pay for those, terrific. But if you're not, or you didn't want to pay for them, or you couldn't get into them, oh, well, but aside from a quick, less than 5-minute announcement welcoming everybody there the day of the 30th and a cute little map and pin, the focus was all on let them run as fast as they can to Mouse Gears and stand in a massive line for hours for merchandise.
And get it on eBay.
Do you know what the really awesome thing about that opening, the 30th? Opening for the 30th was, I'm standing there with Bob and Donna, and all of the sudden, you know, they have like their little announcement, and then pew, a couple rolls of like streamers come down, and I'm like, please God, Do not let Bob see how pitiful that is, because he's going to rant and rant over that. It was just the funniest thing, and that was it.
And yeah, because it was like three streamers. It was, I mean, I was expecting, I don't know, I was kind of expecting
fireworks. I mean,
well, they did more for the Fantasyland opening.
Yeah, I was, and 30 years is monumental for a theme park, I think. Yeah. And there are a lot of dedicated Epcot fans. And
don't you think they should have reacted to some of the fan enthusiasm about it and maybe made it a little more impressive? Like 6 months out, you've got people who are really, really excited about the 30th, and they knew about it. They know what's going on in the fan community, because we know that, because they stole all the – they steal a lot of ideas for their own Facebook page from fans, right? So, I mean, you know they should have maybe responded to that. I don't know.
And they saw the bookings at the hotel.
Right. Yes.
So they were aware of what was going on.
Yeah. I mean, we were there as adults. That was one of those weekends. And there are some weekends during the year where it's just, you don't see, you see so many adults walking around in groups, and you could tell there were so many people just there for that. And, you know, not as impressive as we would have liked.
What changes would we like to see?
In Epcot?
In
Epcot is just a disaster. I mean, and on the like, and I think you were the one, Bob, who said one time that one of your friends said it was like a big shopping mall, and it kind of is. You know, I mean, you go to Epcot. Was it you?
Yeah, I said. Well, okay. I said that, but it wasn't me who originally said.
Yeah,
that. But yes,
it kind of is. I mean, it's basically like. You know, it's basically like a large shopping mall. You go there, you go to eat, you go to hang out with your friends, and you go to shop. Maybe you shop. But other than that, there's just a few highlights in the park. And like, we're going to lunch there tomorrow, and my kids are like, well, I want to do such and such, and I want to do such and such. And I'm like, yeah, that'll take a half hour. You know, that kind of thing.
So are you saying you'd like to see more attractions, like another big attraction maybe next year put into the park, or –
You know, I think so. I think they definitely need to improve Future World. I'm not necessarily one of those people who think they need to add another country. I mean, that'd be great. But, you know, something.
So what could they do with Energy?
You know, I'm going to be honest. I don't think I've ever been on that.
Really?
I think it just needs updating.
I think it needs a complete revamp and go in a new direction. I know they're trying to save those dinosaurs, but maybe they need to go.
Yeah. Well, I think you could do a thing with the Universe of Energy if you wanted to go in a new direction, talking about reusable resources and ecology and the planet and recycling and wind energy and solar and all these new methods and where are we today with it? And
well, they tell a whole story about the history of energy. They do get into, you know, some alternate,
but it needs to be updated.
Energy sources.
That ride is, and it's too long. It's, what is it, like 45 minutes, I think?
Long.
It's very, very long. So, and it's old. I mean, and Ellen DeGeneres may still be current. But Bill Nye, the science guy, not so much.
Yeah, I watched him as a kid.
Yeah, so and Alex Trebek. I don't know if kids know who Alex Trebek is, unless they happen to be Jeopardy fans. So yeah, that show probably needs to go. I'd love to see Soarin' is a great attraction, but I'd love to see them clean the screens, fix the screens, and update the movie. Do Soarin' over, I don't know, the Grand Canyon or something, or, I don't know.
I love that.
Well, no,
you need the diversity of California.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
go down the Russian River. It's just, that's like,
okay,
love that.
But I'm sure they could do some kind of new type of Soarin' that captures that same feeling and smells and experiences, just an update to it.
They could incorporate Ellen DeGeneres.
just bring her into everything.
Yeah,
why not? They did that with Robin Williams.
Yes, and you see how that worked out, right?
I like Robin.
I do too, but I guess they're back on speaking terms, he and Disney.
What, did they have problems?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had a falling out years ago. Yeah, big time falling out, which is why he wasn't in the sequel to
Aladdin.
Aladdin, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
They got Homer Simpson.
But yeah, so... And again, I think we also have an issue with maintenance at Epcot.
Yeah.
The screens in Soarin', like I said, I think those need to be fixed. Some of the attractions within the countries are looking pretty bad. I was horrified the last time Donna and I were on in the Norway Pavilion on
Maelstrom.
On Maelstrom, we looked up into the ceiling. I just happened to glance up. I tilted my head upwards for some reason, and there were a large number of ceiling tiles missing. That is, to me, in poor form, and it's inexcusable. Replace the ceiling tiles. You know,
I think it's funny when you go on an attraction and you look where you're not supposed to.
Yeah.
Whether you're looking up or backwards.
Right.
Or down.
I had no reason to look up, and I don't know what drew my attention there, but once I did, oof. But that's not the only problem with that attraction, so or other attractions there. So I guess my what I would love to see in 2013, maintenance, a redoing. I think Innoventions should be redone. I think you could make it a lot more innovative. Soarin' is a fantastic attraction that continues to draw big crowds, but if you updated it or put it in high definition or something, that could be like a whole new experience. It would be great.
Because their lines aren't long enough as is?
Well, the solution to that then is to put in another attraction. Future World is looking a little bit sad. We've said it before. It's kind of like an abandoned mall where stores start to close. And it's ironic that the Disney Parks blog would just the other day do a whole article about the Wonders of Life Pavilion. And
what did they say about it?
Oh, well, they were just take a look back, you know, in our time capsule, looking back, you know, as 2013 starts. And
look back on one of the greatest pavilions ever.
Yeah. Does anybody remember Food Rocks and this attraction that was in the Wonders of Life and that attraction? And
I loved it.
Yeah. But so... they're writing an article about it, but they're not doing anything about about putting anything in there. So I don't know. Every once in a while you hear things about, you know, you hear murmurs of great things are coming to Epcot. And I hope so.
How long has that been closed?
Oh, gosh. Wonders of Life?
Because they lost sponsorship.
Is it 10 years?
It's a long time.
Yeah.
And I would be thrilled if they opened it again exactly how it was. You know, they may need to do a couple of updates, but I liked it. And I could spend hours in there. So I would welcome it.
You've got so much potential in that park, but so many things. They took out Honey, I Shrunk the Audience because it was outdated. And they put in Captain EO as a tribute to Michael Jackson. But now that's clearly run its course. But what do you put in there? You need to put something in there.
You could make a movie.
Bob in 360. it's just me ranting for like 3 hours. totally worth the price of admission right there.
Right there.
Or not.
if you're on a comp ticket.
Yeah. Nice.
Sorry.
This is because I made fun about the sprinkles, isn't it?
There are a couple of reasons.
So yeah, Epcot needs a lot of help. I would agree with Chris. It's lost a bit of its shine, but it also has a lot of potential. So,
you know what they need to do? Future World itself, I mean, it just has no charm to it. And I know it's supposed to be all like sciencey and techie and all that, but I mean, I don't know. You walk in and you see those monument-looking things. They look, you feel like you're in a graveyard, or like maybe at a memorial for something, like World War II victims or something. I don't know.
Like you should take a rubbing.
Do you know what it looks like? Do you know what it looks like? It looks like a Soviet era World War II monument. It really does. And so you walk through there and you're like, this is not attractive. And it just, it
doesn't. So maybe they need to take those out too, because nobody's really looking at them. And they are pretty ugly. And you know what they remind me of is like blast walls, you know, that you would put up in front of like the UN or something in case of a bombing to prevent. Well,
isn't
you know,
that part of it? I mean, was that why they put that there? I don't know.
No. I think this all started as, I want to say those walls have been up since around 2000. It was a millennium thing. I may be wrong on the dates. I'd have to look into it. But it was years ago, and the idea never caught on. I think they were trying to do something like the bricks at the Magic Kingdom. Yeah, like this, which those are great. But this idea of making a little picture and putting it, you know, on a slate of granite, never quite caught on, which is why you have these large
empty
and I don't know why they're still there, because nobody's looking at them, other than I guess people who have never been to the park and gee, what are these things,
or you know, the people who maybe put their name up there.
Yeah, and gee, we spent $100 on this, we should. So yeah, it's not attractive, and I think it does take away from Spaceship Earth. So those probably need to go, but I don't know. I'd love to see either a major refurbishment to an existing attraction in 2013, sponsorship of a new pavilion.
You know what I like that I'd like to see more of? I'm interrupting. I'm sorry.
Sure. No problem.
Those lights in the sidewalks, because it makes you feel so futuristic. And
yeah,
I like those.
Oh.
And the kids love them.
Yeah.
And they're very cute when you see the cast members sweeping them at the end of the night. Have you ever seen that? They pretend to sweep them up. It's cute. So those are nice, but when you said lights, that made me think of something else that is sorely lacking at Epcot.
Oh,
during
I know what
the holidays,
you're
going to
say. Oh, my gosh.
Yes. During the holidays, bring back the Lights of Winter. I understand they were taken down because they weren't friendly to the environment. They weren't LED, but they've been gone for years now.
At least three.
So surely someone has come up with LED lights that would work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
It was something very beautiful, and it really added something special, and it's just not the same at Epcot without them during the holidays.
Don't you think that in general, Epcot, like the World Showcase, is really dark at night?
That's what I thought he was getting at first, just the lighting in general.
Yeah, I mean, and Disney parks, they do such a wonderful job with lighting. The lighting at Epcot has always been lacking. It almost seems a little unsafe. You know, it's kind of fun in a way, but I don't know.
I don't think so. I wish they had more lighting in Future World.
So you need to wait for the big fireball explosion when they let off all the gas from after Illuminations, and see, that'll illuminate the way. I agree with the lighting, but yes, the Lights of Winter, I would love to see those make a return in 2013. If I can't have anything else at Epcot, if you're not going to do any maintenance, if you're not going to bring in any new sponsors, if you're not going to put in any type of new attraction or make any big announcements about a refurbishment to Future World, give me the Lights of Winter.
That'd be awesome.
It's a simple
request. It wouldn't cost that much. Yeah. Can I just say something that I do think Disney does really, really well? And I think, you know, at all the parks, because we're like talking about what's wrong. I do think Epcot is fairly clean, generally. It's one of those parks, like a lot of times you walk into a bathroom in the Magic Kingdom and the poor cast member is cleaning the entire time. But they just can't keep up with the volume of people going in and out. I think the bathrooms at Epcot tend to be cleaner. I don't see a lot of trash laying around at Epcot. Especially, you know, like at night, by the UK pavilion, is that not like a group of drunks? I mean, like, you know what I'm saying, though? Like,
I know what you're saying.
You walk past the UK pavilion, and it is. It's like a soccer game just let out or something, and people are loud and they're drinking, and it's still clean. So I think they do a very good job of keeping that part clean. I digress. Sorry, I know, Bob, you're not going to get
no.
anything, are you?
No,
it's
no.
not clean enough. I had my white glove on.
I lick the ground.
And you know what? You rag on the screen. You rag on Soren at Disney World, saying the screen doesn't look good. It doesn't look good at land either.
I haven't seen it at Disneyland in years. So I when I saw Soren at Disneyland, it was years ago. So, yeah. And if it doesn't look good at, you know what? If it doesn't look good at Disneyland, it needs to be fixed at both parks then.
It does. Well, that's my point. I mean, because you have a tendency, and we both
Bob's
love Disneyland.
Bob's an equal opportunity griper.
Yeah, but you have a tendency to rag on World all the time and give land a pass. But when we were out there, I was like, huh, the screen's not any better.
Well, see, I didn't go into it. But at the time I saw Soren out there, I can tell you the screen wasn't like that.
How long ago was that?
It was years. So okay. that could be why. But how much I would be willing to bet this, the screen at Disneyland's will be fixed first.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would bet
check
serious,
it out next
I
time.
Bet money on that. So you'll have to check it when you go out there in April. No, I think they do a decent job of keeping the parks clean, and being a custodial member is not a job I would want, and it is hard work. I would agree they do a fine job, and I'm not trying to rag on them, but there's a difference between and custodial is not responsible for things like ceiling tiles being missing in Maelstrom. And even maintenance, I'm not sure you can blame them, because if the money's not given to them in the budget to do that, or they're not given the materials and the resources to make those repairs, you know, on the park level, then that stuff's not going to be done. So, I don't know. Like I said, I have hope for Epcot, because yes, there's it's such a big park that you can't help but notice numerous things that need to be fixed. But at the same time, I look at it with potential. It's got a lot of potential. So
yeah.
I do hold out hope. What about Hollywood Studios? I mean, talk about potential.
There's a ton of potential at Hollywood Studios. And I have a major love for Hollywood Studios. There's so many things I love about that park. But there's not a heck of a lot to do.
Well, what did they do in 2012? Anything big?
They didn't
anything?
Do anything.
Yeah.
They did well. They put in that pirate experience, that Jack Sparrow, which was I thought very enjoyable, especially since he was a live actor.
Chris,
he was alive. I'm telling you.
Oh, he winked at you, didn't he?
He did. I gave him my phone number. Come on.
He invited you back to his hotel room at the Grand Floridian.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Where you dined on Victoria and Albert's and.
Victoria and Albert's what?
Are you reading my special diary?
Okay, so aside from this Pirates Jack Sparrow experience, which I've heard mixed things about.
You didn't go in there yet?
Not yet. I have it on good authority
from Ron. We need to do it this weekend if we can.
I have it on good authority from Ron Schneider that it's terrible, but I will do.
Oh, no. He is 100% wrong. Hey, Figment, or whatever your name is, you're wrong.
don't insult the Dreamfinder. Do not insult the Dreamfinder.
Whatever, he's wrong. No, it was actually very enjoyable. I loved it.
Okay. Well, some people are going to love
you
it.
You were there. Did you like it?
I enjoyed it. I will do it again.
Yeah.
Okay, well, so some people are going to love it and some people are not, and that's what makes the world go around.
I will not wait 45 minutes for it again.
Wow.
I'd wait 45 minutes because my older child hasn't seen it. But
Okay, but aside from that, they didn't really do anything with that park in 2012. So what do you think, what would you like to see in 2013? Again, these aren't things on our list. These things that we're covering aren't things that we're necessarily going to see. They may never come to pass, but what would you like?
What would we like? I mean, ABC Commissary, we know what we think about that.
Yes.
We'd love to see some changes top to bottom in that place. I'd like to see a solution to Toy Story Mania. And
oh,
I don't
crowds.
Know what it is. What can we do with that?
You know what? You know what would have solved that problem from the very beginning was to have two separate areas. You know, like they kind of do in, I don't know, in some of the meet and greets. You could take the same idea there and apply it to, I mean, how much more space would they have needed to do that? Probably not that much. It's a fairly simplistic idea.
Here's the thing. The solution is this. Toy Story Mania remains extremely popular because it's just about the only attraction in that park that families can do together, regardless of whether your kids are really young or boys or girls or preteens or teens. I mean, everybody finds it enjoyable and everybody can go on it. So the lines are consistently long until they come up with another attraction. And it doesn't even have to be e-ticket. Until they come up, though, with an attraction that appeals across the board like that and put it in that park, you're not going to see any substantial reduction in waiting times. I don't think.
I think you're right.
But and I know that there was hope that, well, Star Tours 2 would reduce wait times. But not everybody can go on Star Tours. Not everybody likes Star Wars. Not everybody likes 3D. Some people are sensitive to motion. So it didn't work out the way that I think they had hoped. I think your ideas, Lisa, are great. Toy Story Mania does have the issue with long wait times. ABC Commissary is lackluster in terms of food choices available at that park. A complete reimagining of that park could have, well, it's never going to happen, but you could actually do it there because of especially now with all the stories available to Disney with the Muppets, with Pixar, with Lucasfilms.
I'd like to see more with the Muppets.
I'd like to see a new Muppet movie. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you could do one that capitalizes. I mean, they're coming out with a sequel. The first movie was a great success and introduced the Muppets to a whole new generation of kids and their parents who remember them. They're coming out with a sequel. Perfect time to capitalize on that. Make a new movie. Put in a new 3D movie. And I know they're expensive to make, but that's certainly easier and I have to believe less expensive than building a completely new attraction. You know, I think a lot could be done with Star Wars down the line. Nothing necessarily in 2013. I don't know. Do we think we're going to see Cars Land or hear about Cars Land this year?
I think so. I think they'll announce it at D23. That's what I hope, at least.
That would be the smart time to announce it, I think, right?
Well, I think it's a natural time to announce it, and given the fact that D23 has had mainly very lackluster responses from fans, to have something big like that come out for D23 like it did 3 years ago with the Fantasyland expansion, I think is sort of a natural kind of – I think it would be sort of an interesting thing to have happen. I'm sure they want to do something big. They always do, right?
Sure. Yes, they always do. And that would be huge.
Right.
I know that would get people excited, but Cars Land, even if it is announced this year, you're probably not going to see anything till 2016. Yeah, 2016. That's a long ways away to not make any other changes. So I'm hoping
I've warmed up to the idea of having some version of Cars Land at Hollywood Studios. I would enjoy that.
I haven't. Only because I like the idea of California having something distinct of its own that revitalized that park, that that.
I think it does revitalize that park, but the problem is that that park is a local park. I mean, yes, when you go there, you see people from all over the place, but in general, it's very local, and I don't know that that's going to change in time for most fans to get what they need out of Cars Land. I don't know if that makes sense, but I think, you know, there is a small group of people who are really enjoying Cars Land. All the other people are going to Walt Disney World. Mm-hmm. Especially if you're talking about people, you know, east of the Mississippi. You know, they just, it's an expensive ticket. And I know you've said, save your money, da-da-da, go out there. But I think, you know, overall, it makes sense to have a Cars Land in a Hollywood Studios.
I don't think I can do anything. Well, I don't think. I know I can't do anything to stop it.
Right. You can chain yourself.
Right. I'm going to chain myself to the back lot of Hollywood. And go on a hunger strike. And refuse to move so the bulldozers cannot run. That's awesome. I like that idea. Thank you. But I don't want to wait 3 years.
Yeah, and, I don't want to. Well, of course, well, Bob. None of us want to wait.
No, I'm saying is, I would hope that between, if that announcement does come to pass, I think something else has to be done between now and Cars Land opening.
Do you know what I don't want to see? I don't want to see the Little Mermaid, Voyage of the Little Mermaid, leave Hollywood Studios because now we have the Journey of the Little – I get confused. You know what I'm saying. The show Little Mermaid in Hollywood Studios, I would prefer to stay and not leave. And
But you know, want both to stay, right?
I do, of course. You know, I want the ride, obviously, to be in the Magic Kingdom. I think that's awesome. But I would love for that show to stay in Hollywood Studios because there's not a heck of a lot there. If it, you know, that's just one less thing. And I actually think that show is one of the more underrated attractions.
I love that show.
Yeah, people don't see it. There's a lot going on. It's really cute. It's short. It could have more to it, but it's good.
Well, there are rumors of it being replaced by a Phineas and Ferb show.
In that case, I think it would be really popular with kids.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So it's not like it's going away entirely. One thing that I would like to see more of in 2013, more Streetmosphere.
Yeah.
Streetmosphere is great. Anything like that that people aren't expecting, they're walking through the park and then they're suddenly drawn into a story by somebody approaching them and pulling them in to it, that's awesome. Yeah. That can make somebody's vacation. That's just unexpected.
It does.
And in a park like Hollywood Studios, it just fits. It's a studio. People are acting. You're part of a script. It's a movie.
Yeah.
You know, play along. So expect the unexpected. I don't know. I mean, I'm acting. I'm an actor. Don't I sound like William Shatner?
I was going to say you're sounding a little bit like Sam Eagle.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
It just naturally comes out.
Stubbing in the middle is distinctly unpatriotic. it's called a salute to all nations, but mostly America. It's a glorious 4-hour finale.
You've got 3 minutes.
Right. What? love that. Love that. It's still classic.
That is one of the best pre-shows ever.
Yes.
We should have a show on pre-shows.
You are not Mickey Mouse. Yeah, Ratch, Matt. What do they know? They're tourists. But yeah, so the Streetmosphere, I'd love to see that. I know that I've read online, people have said it seems like it's increasing, and I hope that's true. I hope it's not just maybe they caught it on a good day. I really do hope that they're putting an effort into bringing Streetmosphere back to Hollywood Studios because it is missed. Just like when they used to do the Four for a Dollar, the Singers, right before Beauty and the Beast pre-show, there were tons of people who had never seen that show at every performance, and here come out, you know, these 4 or 5 guys who look like sound technicians, and they start messing with the microphones, and then they break out into a cappella music. Totally unexpected, took people by surprise, wildly popular, and it went away. You know, and that's unfortunate. So
I love a cappella singing.
Yep. So I hope we can see some of that in 2013.
And you know, I really enjoyed the Dapper Dans doing some boy band tributes. I thought that was it
Right,
was
well,
very
yes, they did it.
entertaining.
They did that at the media event, you're saying?
Yeah,
Yeah.
they did that at the Splitsville. It was a meeting prior to the Splitsville premiere or preview.
And there is going to be a week during one of Disney's 52 weeks of limited time magic that they're running in 2013 where the Dapper Dans will sing boy band music. So unfortunately, we don't have they haven't released a schedule of what to expect week to week.
Yeah, that'll be announced the right before the week, so either on Sunday or Saturday. Do you remember, Chris?
I can't remember. I'm sorry.
So that, but
It's
yeah,
kind of
that's
but
smart.
it's not a far in advance announcement. It's
Right.
okay, this is what we're doing this week.
You know,
Right.
don't you think that's really smart? Because instead of letting people become complacent with, an entire schedule out there, they kind of generate a bit of excitement online. And we've said before that Disney hasn't been good with Facebook or Twitter. They're like 5 years behind, these 15-year-olds who are online. But I thought this was kind of a clever thing.
They've just discovered MySpace. It's a
Well,
breakthrough.
they aren't, and that and they're just not good with social media.
Yeah.
So,
So that is good. But yeah, Streetmosphere, I hope to see it. Well, then that leaves
Oh,
Animal
God.
Kingdom.
Here we go. The redheaded stepchild. Okay, so what did they do well?
In 2012, well, they changed the safari attraction, so you don't have the backstory about Little Red and the poachers, and I think it's better for it because it puts the focus, rightly so, on the animals, and I want to say it almost gives people a little bit more time to see animals and take photographs of the animals while on the safari. And they expanded the safari a little bit to introduce zebras onto it. So, also very cool. That was something that hadn't been done. And looking ahead to 2013, Animal Kingdom turns 15 this year.
Wow.
So later this year on Earth Day. So,
I like that they do that. The Earth Day birthday.
So hopefully we'll see something there. But aside from those little things, not a whole heck of a lot
There's
going
not a whole
on.
lot to say. It's sad because I like the park, but
Yeah.
there's not a lot to
And
say.
nothing on the horizon that we're hearing either, which is unfortunate too.
You
As
know, I
far as
actually think that park is so incredibly underrated.
Oh, it's beautiful, and I think there's you can make a day out of it, and if you have an appreciation of animals at all, and great shows,
We watched the tigers. We were only there for a little bit this last time, and we watched the tigers probably for 30 minutes, just watching them.
I've done that with the gorillas. I try to get them angry. I try to get them angry until a cast member comes up to me and tells me to
Because
stop.
you're on the outside, do you complain
you've
about the
escaped.
planters? Are you
I
like,
know.
hey, what are those planters doing? What are they hiding?
No, I'm not quite that bad. Although the use of planters is getting a little out of hand too.
So, Lisa, you probably don't know this because you're not on Facebook a lot, but there's a lot of Disney fans who say that every time something is broken at Disney or something they want to hide, they put a planter in front of it.
And
So
it's true.
it is
So
kind of true. Well, go to the noodle place. It's all planters.
it is,
That's
aside from when it's open, those like 8 days out of the year, it's they have a whole line of them. It's like the barricade from Les Mis. Throwing out that musical reference.
I
Um,
know.
yes, yeah, I'm cultured and junk that way.
Fancy.
Fancy, yeah. What I'd like to see in 2013, I'd like to see the netting from beneath the Tree of Life come down. I realize it was put up because one of the quote unquote branches fell off. Luckily, it was not during a time when
Right.
people were in the park, and so nobody was hurt. But doesn't that make anybody ask, This park isn't that old. Why is the tree falling apart? And the nets do detract from the tree. And, you know, can you imagine? It'd be like having large nets all around Spaceship Earth. It just doesn't look right. So I'd like to see them. I'd like to see them come down. Yeah. I'd like to see it come down. It's hard for me to know, to even say what I would like in Animal Kingdom, because I don't know. I'm honestly
because it's perfect the way it is. Right?
It's
I'd
a
like
very
straws.
Good car.
Straws would be
real,
awesome.
Real straws? Rather than those
Forget
cardboard
those animals. cardboard straws feel freaky.
And while you're at it, would you like them to have balloons too? And you can, you know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm okay. Seriously.
Maybe fireworks. A nice fireworks show for the animals at night.
You know, so, I actually think it's an incredibly beautiful park. You know, I have no complaints.
I think it's a beautiful park.
They could use air fresheners here and there.
Yeah.
Is that what you'd like to see? In yeah. Okay, 2013, your resolution is...
A couple
for the
of Yankee campus. Candles or something.
Well, in fairness, Lisa likes her air fresheners.
I do, don't I?
Great.
She travels with one.
We'll get you some of those air fresheners like they give you at the car wash. You know, we have new car smell, or, you know, money,
or turkey leg.
Or turkey, yes.
No, it's pina colada. You go to the car wash and it's pina colada. And you're like, really? Do I want my car to smell like a pina colada? Not really. No.
You know, getting a DUI and your whole car smells like pina colada.
Oh, I swear,
I'm not drinking.
It's air freshener.
They should have air fresheners for your car that smell like beer.
Oh, there you go.
I'm sure they do.
That'd be funny.
I don't know. I've done the new car. It's totally getting off topic. I've done that new car smell, and it does not. It smells like a very bad men's cologne. I've never had a new car that smelled like that.
Do you know what's better than the new car smell? A new house smell.
Oh, well, there you go.
Love the new house smell.
Well, I mean, aside from maybe a few Yankee candles here and there so that the animals stink less for all you sensitive nose types.
Yes.
I don't know. I would. At one point, the River Rapids ride was going to be expanded.
That would be nice.
Yeah, that would be just because there's not a lot in terms of e-ticket attractions there. But then the focus of the park never was on that.
Thrill rides and
yeah. Here's something. I think the parade could be redone. You know, the Jam and Jungle Parade. I'd like to see something new that's been there for a while.
It's been around.
Yeah, and it's just okay.
Yeah, it really is.
So it's not one, you know, I'll stop at the Magic Kingdom and watch the parade there in the afternoon.
I just came up with a terrible thought. Maybe they're not changing it because they know they don't have repeat clients.
Oh, come on.
So they have first timers every time.
Well, there's a lot of people who unfortunately I think avoid that park or don't think it's important to tour. And we've said it before and I'll say it again. I think you're doing yourself a disservice if you don't take a look. I mean, if you have no interest in animals, I guess it's. But there's not many places where you can see a giant safari like that, and the shows I think are really good quality. You know, and who knows? We may get World of Avatar there down the line.
Yeah, you know? I think that's years in making.
Probably.
Well,
but...
and. Let's relate that to, we just found out, of course, that Universal has the rights now to the Lord of the Rings and all of that, Middle-earth.
Yes, they're basically very close to the deal's all but done, basically.
Right. And so now, and I was saying, I was like on a little online group with some people, and I was saying, you know what, this makes Avatar Land even more depressing because they're getting, you know, hobbits and we're getting, I don't even know what it is, blue people.
Blue people. And not the Smurfs, other blue people.
Yeah,
big blue people.
Yeah. So, but the good thing with that, I guess, is ultimately it's the theme park guests who win. This healthy competition that is going on right now with Universal seems to be on a kick with spending money. Ever
they
since
really
they
are
acquired by Comcast, Comcast is just spending a ton of money. They're getting it back tenfold with Wizarding World of Harry Potter, and I'm sure that the same would probably happen with anything Middle Earth related. But yes, this spending of money is kind of making other parks stand up and take notice, and this friendly battling, if you will, and competition is good for everybody. So I can't fault that at all. But yeah, Avatar versus Middle Earth. I don't know.
Even,
but
I don't even like Lord of the Rings, but gosh, so many kids do, and adults. So right.
Oh, it's one of those things that has a following.
It's classic too. Following. I mean, yes. It's been around forever. So
it would be huge. It would work well. But I don't know. I mean, as far as Animal Kingdom in 2013, I mean, if we see some construction, if walls start to go up, at least we'll know because they are moving forward with this project. Because as it stands now, nothing's changed. I mean, all you have is an announcement and some concept art. And we haven't seen anything since.
Yeah, so. And hopefully that's all we'll see. I have a question. What was your personal, since it's the end of the year show and we're talking about, good things, bad things, what was your personal one great thing for 2012? If you had to narrow it down for you personally.
Like Disney thing?
Yeah, no, Bob. I want to know about your personal life on a Disney podcast.
Well, okay. If you say so. I don't know. Well, ladies first, Lisa.
Oh, I was hoping I'd have some time to think.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, then I'll go first.
If you've got something in mind, go for it, because I am going to think about that.
Okay.
Can I go?
Okay. Yes. You are a lady, I suppose.
Sometimes. Thanks, Bob. I love you too. I have to say, it was Cars Land, and. If you had started me out in January and knowing both of these things were coming up, I would have said without question the opening of Fantasyland expansion. You all know how incredibly excited.
You were crazy about that.
I was. And I was constantly going to Steve, who do you know? Could you get us in? And then he got us in. And I was like, are you kidding? And then they opened it before then. And everybody got to see it. And it was good. It was good. But it wasn't as good as Cars Land. And I think, we touched on it earlier. Cars Land is very immersive. It's a coherent idea. And it's just beautiful. And the theming is beautiful. And you really feel like you're in the movie. And the attractions are great, and the food is good. It's wonderful. So that would be mine.
That's a good one.
She's going to say Dumbo.
You know what I'm going to say?
What?
I'm going to kind of stray a little bit, and I'm going to say the fantasy.
Yes! That wasn't as good as Cars Land. Sorry.
What?
It's just a... Well, they basically repeated the dream. They made a few changes, but it's basically the dream.
Yeah, but I went on the fantasy before I went on the dream, so it was fantastic.
Yeah, it's a nice ship, but you know what? It doesn't hold a candle to Cars Land.
Wow. Okay. Be that way.
Sorry. Well, I mean, you're entitled to your opinion, right? I'm not going to beat it out of you.
Yeah.
No, agree with me. Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to go back a little bit too. Since we're kind of talking, we tried to do it park by park, but I got to give them so much credit for Art of Animation.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
And the job that they did there, it was or is beyond what I thought they could do.
I think it's one of the smartest things. In fact, I would say that's a smarter idea and probably touches more people in a positive way than really the Fantasyland expansion. Because a lot of people were kind of like, Little Mermaid. But I haven't met anyone who has gone to Art of Animation and been like, oh, it's okay. Even people who are usually deluxe guests are kind of...
I'm one of them. Yeah.
You're so fancy.
I'm a resort snob. Yes. No, I guess I am in a little ways.
A little ways?
What is this pick on me? Don't take
oh,
me
come
off
on.
My don't
of
don't
course.
Don't get me off my high.
Okay.
No,
we should say that Bob is excited because Bob got an awesome new job and we all love Bob and we're proud
Woo!
Of Bob. Woo-hoo! That's why Bob is saying, don't get me off my high. It's not because he's actually high.
As far as no.
We hope not, at least.
And we might point out that he gave up sushi to be here tonight.
Yes. He was going to go out and celebrate and have sushi, but we were like, come on, we got a podcast. And he came and hung out with us.
Awesome. Thank you. See, I love you guys. And I love our fans, and I'm very proud to be a part of this podcast. And
oh, my God. I just warm fuzzy.
Nice. And who knows? And by the time this podcast probably airs, we'll have found out the results of the podcast awards.
Okay, you just brought me right down.
Oh,
same as last year.
Okay. No. You never know. But
this could mean a new tattoo for Bob.
It could. It very well could.
And a new do.
So, hey, you know what? I'm even looking forward to that in 2013. But no, Art of Animation, it's good that you brought it up, because when I did the tour of it, I even said, I'm a deluxe guy by nature, but I would stay.
That just sounds funny.
And you know what's even weirder is I'm wearing a monocle right now, as I say.
Probably are.
I look like the Monopoly man at the moment.
Do you have your top hat as well?
Yes, I do, and a cane.
And your smoking robe?
my nice Cuban cigars and my humidor, yeah. Okay. Which I'm lighting with $100 bills.
I've got a very vivid picture going here.
Yeah. But I said to him, I'm a deluxe guy by heart, but I would stay here. I was that impressed by it. And I can't say enough nice things about how good Art of Animation came out. It's really well done. So, again, a big win for Disney in that category. They knocked it out of the park. You know, Imagineering did a fantastic job with that. You know?
All right, I have a question. We know that Grand Floridian is getting their DVC expansion.
Mm-hmm.
What else is coming in the world of Disney World Resorts?
Officially, that's it.
Unofficially?
Unofficially, probably a DVC at the Poly and probably a refurb of all those buildings. That's what we keep hearing. And the sites that are reporting that, and we reported it like a year and a half ago, and of course we got slammed. And then some bigger sites put it out 6 months later. And
they get praised.
Yes. But
there's
what
no
I'm
love
saying.
For the little guy. You know what
there's
it is?
There's no love for Mouse Chat, you know? until the Tiki Man agreed, you know? But I, that's what we're hearing. We're not hearing anything else. You hear something about that little Fort Wilderness DVC, but nothing's ever been more solid. You know, then a slight rumor. So,
how do we think the DVC of the Grand Floridian is going to sell?
I think it's going to. First of all, it's not going to be a big resort. So there's not. It's more like a beach club than a Bay Lake Tower or Animal Kingdom. So there's not going to be that much to sell, apparently. But their rumors are like $180 a point, which you have to be crazy to pay.
Wow. No way. $180 a point?
That's the rumor. And if you buy direct from DVC right now, even if you buy Animal Kingdom, I think it's up to $135. Oof. Bay Lake Tower is higher than that. So
wow.
Yeah. And just you know what? Wait 3 years after Grand Floridian opens and people will be dropping those contracts on the resale market. And that's when you buy it.
Well, if it sells as well as you think, Chris, then I would not be surprised at all if Disney broke ground or announced the Polynesian DVC, because that would sell like hotcakes. There are so many people loyal to the Poly.
Apparently, the way the business model for DVC works, there has to be something in the planning stage and breaking ground when the last portion of the most current sells out. And that would be exactly true, because if you look at Bay Lake Tower, they were almost sold out of Bay Lake Tower, and then they go ahead and they open or they break ground.
Given the limited amount of rooms then and the potential popularity, we could actually see a groundbreaking then at a new DVC location if that business model
is. You won't see it until it opens. You won't see it until they're selling, until they're,
so,
you know.
Okay. So then probably not till 2014.
Right. Do we know when that's opening? I think they're going to start selling in late 2013 and opening the next year. That's what I've heard.
I'm impressed by the speed of the construction to date. You'll see tomorrow when you're there.
Oh, great. Oh, that's right. That's where I'm staying.
Right. Well, not at the DVC.
Yeah, what do you mean? That's the only way I'm going to be able to stay there.
Scaffolding. Right, exactly.
I've got to tell you, if anyone is listening to this and you want to go to Grand Floridian, that whole center area where they have the quiet pool, which is the larger pool, it's kind of not looking so great. You know, they've got scaffolding around it and fences. So first timers, you don't want to go to Grand Floridian for the next few months. Because you'll be disappointed.
Well, okay, so we talked about unofficially resorts around Walt Disney World.
Tell us what your big highlight.
My big highlight. Because we started talking about my monocle. Mr. Peanut here. My big highlight, I think, would be the Disney Cars Land trip that we took.
Aww, in August. That was wonderful.
It was just a great trip, first of all, but full
without
of...
Without me.
Yeah, well, I mean, that wasn't intended. That's not what made it a great trip. we wish you had been there, truly, honestly. And maybe we should plan a trip and I'll go back. But just the events that happened, meeting Bob Gurr, the Disney legend, meeting Margaret Carey, the original Tinkerbell model, going to Club 33 and having a dinner that lasted way too long but was superb. Just fantastic. And being in the parks, laughing and talking with one another and experiencing all that is Disneyland and the magic of Disneyland. I'm not going to start talking like Sam Eagle again, but...
Are you having emotions?
I am having emotions.
That was very special. It really was. And it was just, I don't know. That was wonderful. And to get to go to Cars Land, and you're right, to get to do Club 33 and everything else. It was great. I loved it.
It was definitely a highlight. But I guess final part of this then was because we touched on unofficial resort rumors or things that we're thinking about for 2013. 2012 saw Splitsville at Downtown Disney West Side, which I think really was a breath of fresh air for that area.
Yes.
It gave people something to do at night, something different than shopping and dining. Not that there's anything wrong with shopping and dining, but one can only shop and dine so much. So, you know, billiards and playing pool and people that have gone have said it's just a really fun environment and the food is supposed to be pretty good from what you guys have said. So what would you like to see in 2013 at Downtown Disney Pleasure Island?
A good hamburger place. Five Guys.
Oh, I'm surprised you didn't say In-N-Out.
Well,
oh, but then but
I'd
you said you said good hamburger place.
No, I would actually love In-N-Out, but they're not coming to this side of the country. So I'm just accepting that and moving on.
Okay.
And Five Guys is my
right.
default.
Good hamburger place. Anything else?
No.
Okay.
No.
What about you? What would you like to see at Downtown Disney?
You know what? I'd like to see some Streetmosphere.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I would like to. I love, you know, of course, my best memory being that of last year's visit to Downtown Disney during Christmas time, Christmas of 11, and just listening to the carolers and some of the musicians and just dancing with our daughters. And just more of that relaxing downtime. Entertainment. I like that, you know, and to be able to count on that and get more interaction. Cause like you were saying about in the parks, when you've got that Streetmosphere character coming up to you and involving you, that really makes your time special. And I know on that particular vacation for us, we had the Digadaroo, the Kalamazoo, the Australian, help me out, what's that long tube that they blow into?
The didgeridoo?
Yeah, that one. I was close.
Kalamazoo, yeah, I think Kalamazoo is in like...
Anyway, there's a didgeridoo dude playing, okay. And he pulled Brooke up, and you know, because she was kind of dancing. Was it? I think it was Brooke. And, you know, kind of made her a focal point. And I liked that. And it made it special and memorable for us. And, you know, things like that where you can get a little more. You know, a lot of people are there to shop and to eat. And that's it. But if I were there just for some entertainment and a nice afternoon, it'd be cool to stop and see different people and interact and see what they have to do.
Hmm.
I like little acts like that. I like the a cappella singers. I like the Chinese acrobats in Epcot. I like magicians. Just goofy stuff. I like those silly statues that have white faces.
Oh, that move, yeah, or that yeah. Stand absolutely still, and then, yeah. I'd like to see... I think I'd maybe like to see a updated Cirque du Soleil, just mm-hmm. because it's been there for a while. I mean, still popular, but maybe something different. And and I'd like them to finally come to some kind of decision as to what to do with Pleasure Island.
Yeah,
because
good thing Steve's not here, because you'd get an earful.
Okay,
really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, what? Negative or positive?
On they ruined Pleasure Island.
Well, I mean,
because that one time he went to Mannequins and a girl looked at him. Yeah, it was magical.
That's my husband.
Come on. I'm just talking about when he was a 28-year-old loser before he met you.
Oh, okay, that I understand.
Yeah, I like how every time we're in the mat in Epcot and we walk by the electric umbrella, he points out that when he was a cast member, he used to do his thing there.
Jesus!
Every
Did you hear
single
that story?
Every single time,
25 times. It almost breaks my heart because I could just see him in there, all alone, again, dateless, scrawny, just sitting there doing his homework, wishing he had someone to talk.
But it's just funny that every single time. But anyway, enough of Steve's troubles.
I can't go past
troubles
there.
That he didn't even know he had.
Right.
I can't go past there without saying that to myself.
Pleasure. Yes, exactly. It's like ingrained now. but yeah, Pleasure Island. I mean, at least take the signage down from outside that's still up that says Pleasure Island. It hasn't been Pleasure Island in years.
Many years.
I mean, I can't believe there aren't. I don't know. If you're not going to make it clubs, do something with the space and not shops and not dining, because I think we have enough of that in downtown Disney, except for maybe a Five Guys.
Five Guys is overrated.
It's not bad. I actually like it a lot. But
not a fan.
But I don't know. I think Disney loses a lot. I mean, really now, I think there's probably a portion of their guests that go up to City Walk at night because there's not a lot to do after dark at a Disney park, especially if you are there during an off-peak time when the park closes early. Splitsville will definitely...
Oh, wait a minute. Are you seriously wanting to bring the same atmosphere that City Walk has to downtown Disney?
No, I'm not suggesting...
That place can be very rough at night.
No, I'm not suggesting that, and I haven't seen that rough area necessarily.
You know what? I was walking there one night. I went to a party. They had a little private party at a Harry Potter, and I took my kid, and I think he was like 8 at the time. And like we were just it was maybe 10:30 at night. We were walking back, and two ladies got into a fight right in front of him. Like a real fight.
Well, I mean, but I've seen fights break out in Epcot too. I mean, I'm not No, but I'm not saying it hasn't happened or couldn't happen. But yeah. Here's the thing. I mean, I'm not suggesting that I want the atmosphere or anything. What I'm saying is Splitsville has a step in the right direction because it gives people an option of something to do. Okay, you don't want to shop. You don't want to dine at Downtown Disney. You don't want to see a movie. Well, maybe you want to play billiards or you want to try your hand at bowling in a fun, relaxing atmosphere. Terrific. But now you've got all these former clubs that were there. There's adults that are willing to give you their money, Disney. Put something in those buildings. Do something with them. But don't keep signage up that says Pleasure Island. It's not there anymore. So I don't know. 2013, my wish is to see some big changes coming to that area. That's my hope.
Hmm. You weren't happy with Pollo Campero?
Oh, I love Pollo Campero, but it's not Pleasure Island.
No, but I'm still on the Downtown Disney thing.
No, oh no, I love that. I mean,
oh, I liked it too.
I like the chicken there, and I have a thing for plantains. I really like.
that's nice, Bob.
It just sounded funny.
It does. Well, I have a thing for plantains.
It's like you were giving us a little too much information. You're confessing.
you should feel guilty about it.
Wow, you guys are like totally reading way too much into that.
Plantains,
I don't have a thing for plantains. I have a thing for plantains. There's a difference. It's all in how you emphasize.
You know what? It's late. And it's going to get goofy.
Yeah, it is.
It is late. And we're
all. Oh, Lauren would have fun with this. Sorry, Lauren.
But no, I love Pollo Campero, and I love the chicken. I love the food there. I go there a lot with Donna. We like it there. But yeah, I would love to see a continued revitalization of Downtown Disney West Side and Pleasure Island. They backed away from that Hyperion Wharf thing, and now we're kind of in a holding pattern. So,
circling.
Yeah, it's like we're circling the airport, waiting for space to become available, or for them to actually. You know what? We're circling the airport, waiting for them to build the runway. That's kind of what it's like. While they come up, you know, while they're throwing around ideas as to what to do with the space, it just sits there.
You know, I'm thinking about Downtown Disney, and they have a lot to offer between the movie theaters. I mean, just for fun. Movie theaters, bowling alley, Quest. It's a good time.
No? I'm not saying
it's... with me?
Well, I'm not saying it's not a good time, but okay, I don't want to watch a movie. I don't want to bowl. I don't want to play billiards. I don't want to see Cirque du Soleil, or I've seen it before. Because the show hasn't changed. And Disney Quest hasn't been updated in years. So I don't want to do that again. So what options are you giving me, Disney? I want to give you my money. Tell me what I can do.
Hmm.
I would love to see Disney Quest have some new attractions brought into it. Remember how fun and awesome Disney Quest was when it first opened?
No, because I didn't go when it first opened. When did it open?
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot. A long, long time ago.
Probably 18 years ago.
Oh, gosh. Was it that long? Wow. No,
it was a long time. Okay, let me think. Disney Quest. I was there late 90s. Oh, so it's not that bad. Hold on. No, it's not that long.
Okay, but it was, I don't know, the virtual rides were really something incredible. The Build Your Own Space Mountain is still something that's a lot of fun, but the other virtual reality rides are just old and dated, and I don't know, there's just not a lot to offer there anymore. So again, as part of the revitalization of Downtown Disney West Side, I'd love to see them make changes to Disney Quest. I'd love to see a brand new Cirque du Soleil, and I'd love to see something.
Oh, you can't ask for a brand new Cirque du Soleil.
They
change acts up once in a while.
Yeah, it's pretty. I mean, they've made decent changes. I would imagine that the work that would have to go into that would be just extraordinary.
Okay.
I mean, they've got the whole set made. It's permanent. Although they do change it, they from that tour, they change a lot of the equipment and stuff. So
wouldn't it be nice to get away from that freaky guy, with the hunchback and the pants? I mean, I could do without him.
He's the brains behind the whole thing.
Yeah, something like that.
I never got that confirmed. We were told that he was the guy who came up with the whole idea of that trampoline act with the building and the windows and the diving in and out and that whole routine. And I love that part of the show. And he's supposedly the one that came up with that.
I thought you were saying that I was the brains of this operation, and I was about to agree with you. But
oh yeah, Bob, you're totally the brains.
Yeah, you're the muscle man of the group.
Yeah, and the muscle.
Hey, with my monocle, I am clearly the best dressed. You know,
I'm not going to believe you have a monocle until you send me a picture. Wait, don't.
Well, you're going to see me tomorrow. I could bring my monocle and my smoking jacket. All right. Well, those are our thoughts for 2013. We'd be interested in hearing your thoughts as far as what your wishes are, your Disney resolution, so to speak, for 2013, what you'd like to see in the parks, what you think Disney did right in 2012, what they did wrong.
What you think Bob said wrong.
That could be a very long list.
Yes.
You know, just maybe catalog it by show. By month.
Right. You know, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
You know what I'd also like to know, now that we've got 2012 behind us, what was your favorite show to listen to?
Oh.
I'd like to know that. Let's see what kind of show you guys like.
Oh, favorite Mouse Chat episode.
Yeah, they're going to be like, Umangello.
Right.
It was awesome.
First person that says Umangello gets voted off the island.
A noogie.
Right. Oh, there you go. With love, I mean, all, you know.
All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up right here for this week's show. Thank you to PixieVacations.com for sponsoring this podcast. You can download our shows at mousechat.net, and you can also get them over at iTunes. Go ahead and check out mousechat.net so you can give us your opinions on your favorite show for 2012 and what you think Disney did right, what you think they can maybe do right for 2013. You can send your comments and questions to us at comments@mousechat.net. And please join us again here next time on Mousechat.net.